Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we've come to that intriguing phrase in James 2:12, where it talks about the law of liberty. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. As we saw in the broadcast yesterday, this is written to Christians, and it tells us that all Christians will face the judgment of God. And it is a warning that we are to speak and act in the light of a future day of judgment. And it tells us that the standard of judgment is the law of God, or we might say a law of God. But it calls that law the law of liberty. And that's intriguing. What is this law of liberty that is going to be used as the standard of judgment for believers in the future? Well, that's the question, and we will consider that as we gather around the Word of God on this Tuesday, April 17. And thank you, those of you who help us financially maintain the Beacon Broadcast on this station. The law called the law of liberty. And this, you recall, is the second time that James has referred to the law of God in this way, the first one being in chapter 1, verse 25, when he was talking about the Word of God being like a mirror that reflects back to us our true condition. And he said, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that one will be blessed in what he does." Okay? The law of liberty. And now he says, "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty." So again, why is this called the law of liberty? Well, I should point out, first of all, that there is in the Greek no definite article. It is not technically the law of liberty, but a law of liberty. And the significance of that at this point is that it is emphasizing the character of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by a law of liberty. What does that mean? Well, I think it means this. I think it is telling us that, number one, union with Christ frees believers from the fear of the law's condemnation. Unbelievers have every reason to fear. Whether they do or not is another matter. Some do, some don't. That has to do with their information, what they understand about the day of judgment, what they understand about the law of God, what they understand about God himself, and their accountability to God, and their standing before God apart from Jesus Christ. Just because somebody is not afraid to die doesn't mean that they're necessarily ready to meet God. It may be that they have deluded themselves with all kinds of false notions about what happens after death and what awaits them, that they have somehow dismissed from their thinking any concept of a future judgment and any concept of accountability to the God who made them. And if people have convinced themselves of that, they may die without fear. Until about 2 seconds after they're dead. And then they will face reality instead of the fairy tale existence which they imagined when they were on this earth. But Christians are those who have truly been freed from the law's condemnation. That song that said, "Free from the law, O happy condition, Jesus has bled and there is remission, is exactly true if you understand it in this way. And this is the way in which that song was written. It is sometimes misunderstood, but it was written to teach this truth, namely, that for those who are in Christ, there is no more condemnation from the law. As Paul put it, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ, the law does not condemn you, that is, condemn you to eternal separation from God. It does not condemn you to spiritual death. It is the law that requires the death penalty for sinners. It is the law that says the soul that sinneth it shall die. It is the law that tells us that the wages of sin is death. But Christ frees believers from the law's condemnation. So when you are free, what's another word for that? Liberty. You are at liberty. You have been freed. You have been given your liberty. Someone who has been freed from a condition of slavery has been given liberty. Someone who has been freed from the condemnation of the law has been set at liberty. But as this text is making very clear, that does not mean that there is no law for us who have been set free. Just because we have been set free from the law's condemnation does not mean that we have been set free from every aspect of the law. That is a badly mistaken notion. So Christ frees believers from the fear of the law's condemnation. That makes the law a law of liberty. Christ frees believers from the bondage of enslavement in regard to service. Again, being under the yoke of the law is a type of slavery, and the Bible portrays it in that fashion. Enslaved to obedience to a law that we have no desire to obey, no heart to obey, really no ability to obey. That's a sad condition to be in. Obligated to the law without the ability to keep it. The law doesn't give us the ability to fulfill its requirements, and yet we are under its requirements. That's our condition apart from Christ. That's why the law was not satisfactory. The Bible sometimes portrays the Old Testament law as being less satisfactory than the New Covenant with its freedom. And this is why. Because the law made demands, it had requirements, and it had threats, it had consequences for failing to keep the requirements. The law bound us to a high standard of performance, but gave us no power to perform. But in Christ, we have been freed from that, freed from condemnation to the law, freed from this kind of servitude to a law that we cannot keep, for instead we have been, in Christ Jesus, given new powers, new abilities, new desires, a new heart, a new life. And Christ enables believers to serve God from desire and delight. And that, dear friends, is freedom. Sometimes people characterize freedom as being free from all obligation. I want to be free. I want to be free from my parents' rules. I want to be free from any laws of the school. I want to be free from all of that. I want to be free, man. I want to be able to live my life the way I want to without realizing that actually that turns out to be bondage. It doesn't seem like it at first, but eventually it is, because sin enslaves, and it just wraps its chains around the person who is living for sin and self until he is utterly bound in his sin. That's no freedom. That's slavery. Oh, the addicting habits that are offered as delights by the world. How many people wish they had never taken that first puff How many people are enslaved to tobacco today because they exercised what they thought was their freedom to smoke, contrary to the wishes of their parents and others who told them not to do it, but they weren't going to be told by anybody else how to live. They weren't going to live by anybody else's rules. They were going to do their own thing, go their own way, make their own decisions, exercise their freedom, puff away on that cigarette, and now they can't get rid of it. And likewise, drugs? How many times are we going to have to read the sad story of some celebrity who had great wealth, great fame, great potential, and yet had become enslaved to drugs, and it killed them? Freedom? I don't think so. And on it goes. I'm not going to let anybody tell me what to do. I'm going to go to the casino and gamble and have a good time. And you may become addicted to gambling and ruin your life. I mean, ruin your life, as many people are, more and more people are today. Building up gambling debts that bind them. That's freedom? Oh, doesn't look like freedom now, does it? And so it goes. Some people get bound up by sexual immorality. Oh, that's freedom. Yeah, real freedom. You can't unscramble an egg. You've gotten all bound up and intertwined in all these relationships, and there's no way to get free. There's no way to undo it. You've got a tangled web that's going to drag behind you for the rest of your life. Yeah, that's real freedom, isn't it? But Christ enables believers to serve God, yes, serve God, from desire to serve Him and delight to serve Him. That's freedom. You see, the unconverted person who has a responsibility to serve the God who made him has the responsibility to do that, but no ability. He has no desire for it, no taste for it. It's drudgery, it's bondage to him to serve God, to obey God, to do God's commandments. That's slavery. And it is, if you have no delight in it, no desire for it, and no ability to do it. That really is drudgery. That's slavery. But if you have been made a new creature in Christ, given a new heart, new desires, new interests, spiritual interest, love for God, love for the work of God, love for the people of God, love for the gospel of God, love for the commandments of God, then you can serve God out of delight. You are free now to do what you were created to do, namely to serve God and to fellowship with Him. That's freedom. Freed from the bondage of sin in order to be able to serve God as you were originally created to do. In other words, you can fulfill the purpose for which you were made, and there's no greater freedom, no greater fulfillment than that. Yes, the law of liberty. Good day. May God give you His eternal peace.